This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
You are listening to Lucha Underground.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Lucha Underground, the premier Lucha Underground after show on the web. My name is Max. With me, as always,
you can call me Traps.
And we're back after a one-week hiatus.
Yeah, sorry about that, guys. Life got in the way.
Absolutely. As it will
coming
again.
Up. We'll talk about that.
Yeah.
But it works out because it's good, because it's the Start Ultima Lucha Trace. You put them together.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice little flow.
Sure.
It's exciting.
Yeah. So today we're going to talk about Lucha Underground 37, as well as 38, the first two episodes of Ultima Lucha Trace. I did feel strange. Mm-hmm. There's a strangeness to the whole thing, I think, because this is the end.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's tough knowing that these stories are not going to continue.
You don't know that.
Oh, I think we know that.
You do? You think? You.
I mean, let's say, even if tomorrow they announce that they were going to do season four, then they're probably take at least 6 months before they start filming.
Yes.
And then another 6 months
before it comes out.
Yeah. So we're looking at a whole year.
It's possible.
I mean, it's possible, but I don't think the chances are good.
I don't know. I had read. I always try to skim through. I read as much as I can of the newsletter, the Wrestling Observer, and I just skim down to see what he has to say about Lucha Underground, and there was like one paragraph that was just like, it doesn't look good.
Yeah,
but then you hear, I don't know. I'm not ready to. I'm really 50-50. I think in terms of what's going to happen.
I could see when this ends and there is nothing, you know, on the horizon. Now, we talk about it all the time that it will definitely achieve some sort of cult status.
Yeah,
there's no
yeah.
question about that. I mean, it's been designed to be that
sure.
from day one. So maybe after 4 or 5 years of it just sort of generating more and more interest,
you think
I could see them suddenly being like,
bring it back.
Bringing back Dario and with a whole new group of wrestlers, maybe a few people coming back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I can see us just taking a long break but coming back.
Okay.
I'd say within 12 months. I think 12 months would be the longest the break would go. I think it could be less.
That's if they announced season 4 tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
That's I don't know, man. Anyways,
it wouldn't make much sense.
Yeah,
but a lot of things in wrestling don't make a lot of sense in terms of booking and when it happens, and you know, good promotion and bad promotion.
I just I wish that they had known that this was going to be the end. We could have, you know, wrapped up a lot of stories and everybody could have had their moment.
You don't think they're... I think they've been tying up loose ends left, right, and center.
I don't know. I don't know.
There's some like little dangling little things, but I think they could... I bet you want to bet that we will get a night, kind of like send-off, kind of check in with everybody at the end kind of thing?
Ooh, like they did after the season one.
Season one?
That would be cool.
I mean, that would be awesome. Yeah. That could do it enough. I think I know what you're talking about in terms of, but I think for the most part, yeah, they are kind of wrapping things up.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I don't feel it myself.
Still no spiders.
Yeah, still no spiders. So anyways, I guess that sort of covers news and notes.
Yeah.
That there are none.
Well, we talked about the news. I guess you'd call it an op-ed.
Yes.
Yes.
That's right.
That's in the newspaper, right?
Some people would say that's all the newspaper is these days.
Hey, right, guys?
I'm just a bleeding heart liberal. God. All right. We got two episodes to get through, so we better get started.
Most importantly, violence!
We begin with Lucha Underground Season 3, Episode 37, Ultima Lucha Trace, Part 1. In our recap, we're reminded of Killshot and Dante Fox, story of their time in the army and the armed forces, and the betrayal and all that. And, of course, the famous Bien Tejano. We go inside the temple. Melissa welcomes us right away. It was really great. Here we go. And we are introduced to a new band, a great band, called Mariachi El Bronx. It really fits the pageantry of the occasion.
Oh, no. Mariachi El Bronx has been here before.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. Yes.
This season?
No, I mean, I can't. I don't know. Maybe the end of season two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe season two. Anyways, they're awesome, and it really suits the like I said, the their big show here.
Yeah. Totally.
So they set up the match.
Did you notice that Stryker was a rare occasion of Stryker just wearing a t-shirt?
Yeah.
That
seemed a little weird. It did seem a little weird. But great atmosphere there. Great atmosphere. The first match is Tejano versus Famous B. So here we go. Here's what we learned. This is the first time I've heard Infamous Inc. Had they used that before?
I know. I wasn't sure either. Mm-hmm. I don't think so.
I like it.
Yeah, it fits. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. No entrances for these guys either.
No. But we did get Famous B grabbing the mic from Melissa, and you clearly hear him say, mediocre at best.
Yes.
Really good.
He does a great job. Yeah. I think being a manager is definitely his role, man. He does such a fantastic job at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's on the mic, and he's said because of his broken arm, he can have a partner. And he dialed his partner's pager. That's the first clue. And then, boom, there's our boy, still wearing the mask.
Yeah, no
kidding. Dr. Wagner Jr.
I was, of course I'm happy to see Wagner Jr.
Me too.
But in some ways, it did kind of feel like it wasn't... I don't know.
It fit their storyline. He's a guy who had a history with him.
Yeah. I guess it feels like we already did this at the end of season two.
Was it against Tejano, though? No, it was against Masquerita Sagrada.
Yeah, totally. Right? Yeah.
So that's fine. No, it made sense. If he's going to pick somebody, it should be somebody who he's got associations with.
I guess it was a missed opportunity to bring in Psycho Clown. I was really thinking it was going to be Psycho Clown.
Oh, man, imagine that.
Yeah. Whom I've never actually seen wrestle.
Yeah.
Not once.
Yeah.
But I know that he wears a clown mask.
Yes, yeah.
And that's all I know about him.
Somewhat frightening.
Yes.
Nice start. Good Dr. Wagner poses. I'll have you drop down and give those poses I really like. The guys were working hard early. Little things when he flipped Famous B is bumping like...
Yeah.
Crazy. It's great.
Yeah.
Hits him with the cast. It's followed into the stairs, and he breaks the cast off of Famous B, and then a huge toss down the stairs. This is the first pop of the night.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I kind of popped when Dr. Wagner showed up.
That's right.
But the throw off the stairs. Talk about a crazy bump from Famous B.
Totally. And after he had been decasted, he... Pardon me. Famous B did a great job of selling the arm the whole time. Like he was holding it, you know, in a certain way.
Yes.
And then sort of like almost like he had no strength in it. Like it was just really nice touch, and it was so worth commending because it's so.
Yeah,
I see it all the time, especially in matches where guys are like working a limb or whatever, and like that's sort of the story. Like, oh, we're focusing on the leg or we're focusing on the arm, and guys take a moment to sell it, but they don't consistently sell it like the whole
sometimes
time,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But Famous B, he's being moved around. He's you know fighting back, and he's holding that arm in a way that's like this is a broken arm.
Yes,
yeah. My muscles have atrophied because it was in the. In the cast.
You should have just started scratching it like, oh, thank God.
Oh, God, yeah. Itching. That's so funny. That would have been great. But yeah, great job, man.
Yeah,
Famous B. Just, always delivers.
Yeah.
Always
great,
delivers.
Great this whole season.
Yeah.
And just having a great time.
Mm-hmm.
We get dueling chants. The crowd's really into this. Dr. Wagner tosses... or somebody's, this is where I noticed that Famous B was really bumping like crazy. some confusion with the legal man. So
that was a nice touch too.
Yeah, yeah. So what's his name? He gets up for, Brenda gets up for the kiss distraction and then a roll, just quick roll up Famous B for the win, which is fine. So there you go. Like as we were thinking. That,
yeah.
So if they do, but that wraps that up. That wraps that up. If mm-hmm. they do have another season, we'll see the further adventures of Famous B with his client, Tejano.
I don't know if that wraps it up. Yeah, I don't think so. I think that just, that begins, that's like the beginning of a new chapter. It's not an end.
It could be, if there's another season. Because now he said, like, if maybe we check in a season later, and they're just rolling in it. Tejano's like, you know what? I was hesitant.
That would be.
But this has paid off.
Okay. I love that.
Right?
I love that.
Yeah.
Especially if we get a big time skip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which we will.
I would hope
we
so.
We have to.
I would hope
it's
so.
Because it's been a big time skip.
Yeah. I would love that.
But yeah, good little curtain jerk. You can't drop snowflakes on it or anything, but mm-hmm. this is what you're supposed to do at the start of a show. Like, start with something fun, but still, guys who are busting their ass.
Mm-hmm.
So they run down the card after this. I noticed that I really do think that the Katrina Ivelisse was really, are we going to do this? Are we not going to do it kind of thing? Will it be part of this show or not?
Mm-hmm.
Because when they were going through it, it seemed like, and maybe this is just me imagining things, but it seemed like Vampiro's audio was dubbed separately.
I definitely thought that too.
Yeah, yeah.
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 It was, and he was doing such a weird job of it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure he said bingo bango at one point, or bingo bongo. Bada bing. That's what he said. Yeah. Bada bing?
Yeah. He had been hanging out in Little Italy that day. He said, we need you to record.
Yeah. Yeah. It definitely seemed like he was not there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Stryker recorded it on a different microphone somewhere else. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that could have just been like, are they going to be able to have this match? Will Ivelisse be healed up? But yeah, she definitely was, as we'll see. And they announced the Battle Royal here. This is another pop of the night as we see that lineup. Yes. Just a quick glimpse at all of their faces, including Escalita Pimpernella. I said that right?
I believe so.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was awesome. I was so pumped to see his graphic up there.
Yes.
It's been so long.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember how disappointed I was that he wasn't in Aztec 2. Warfare 3.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seemed like such a perfect opportunity for him.
Mm-hmm.
But it's great. Got to get everybody involved.
Yeah, and that brings us to the next match. The only other match on the card.
Mm-hmm.
Hell of War match. Killshot versus Dante Fox.
Yeah.
So those three falls. So a little convoluted in terms of... So the first one, you have to make him bleed. That's fine.
Sure.
The next one is no DQ, but wait a second. If you had to make someone bleed before, was that not no DQ as well? Weren't you using whatever? So there isn't really that much of a change in the next one.
Yeah, good point.
Anyways, whatever. Who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares? Here we go. Moves outside early with a stiff baseball slide from Killshot. Stiff, stiff, stiff throughout this, as we're going to see. Ladder is set up, then there's a bit of a chair bit where he's trying to hit him with the chair. Kind of tried for a whack-a-mole kind of thing.
Yeah.
Didn't quite work.
Didn't work for me
didn't
either.
Quite work.
It seemed a little too
but
cartoon-y.
Whatever. Yeah. We're still early here. Wild moonsault from Dante Fox onto the ladder.
No,
that he likes to do.
Mm-hmm.
Cool stuff with then we see some cool stuff with the chair on the outside. Back into the ring with the chair. Nice counters between the two. So you see right away early on, these two are evenly matched.
Mm-hmm.
And then an un-fucking believable spot from Dante Fox. That leg drop onto a chair from off of the... Remember, there's so much that happened.
Yes.
This was early on, right?
Yeah, yeah. This, it's true. This match is definitely worth revisiting.
You think so? I'm thinking, I don't want to watch it again.
Yeah.
Not anytime soon.
I know what you mean. I know what you mean. It's, oh man, so much happened in this.
Yeah.
It was super dense.
It was an experience.
And it was not perfect.
No.
By any means.
Mm.
But it definitely, I think, is one of those, it really got my wheels turning thinking about it, just in terms of how elaborate it was and the performances, and maybe they just tried to do too much. So much happening here.
It did. Like, and I think there were times where it's like, okay, you didn't need that extra spot. But I thought there were few and far between. I thought there was really a legitimate build to everything here. And it was, you know, crazy. I was talking to my wife about it. I'm like, yeesh, yeah, this is what I watched the other day.
Yeah.
Crazy, right? Like, yeah, I'm expecting
and not
everything.
At all what I was expecting.
Uh-huh. But I said to her, I'm like, and because they come from this story of war kind of thing, and that's the kind of match it was, I gave them an excuse for it to be as graphic as this was.
It's amazing that these two guys who are so athletic and so acrobatic, ended up doing a match like this.
It's essentially a death match.
Yeah, exactly. that's not something I watch.
Me neither.
Because
not usually,
definitely.
I've seen some great ones. So.
Yeah, it makes my skin crawl a little bit. You know?
Of course. How can it not?
Yeah.
It
makes me feel guilty in a lot of ways.
I know exactly
what
you're
saying. For my entertainment, but I'm not even really into it.
I
question your judgment for agreeing to
but
this.
At the same time, I find that almost like moving. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. No, totally.
Like it really hits me.
Yes, and especially for guys like this who don't need to do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
These guys are more than capable of putting on an incredible match that does not require all of this, all of these things, and the fact that they're willing to go that far. I mean, God, like these guys are such... Lucha Underground, you know, just in general, has introduced so many incredible performers, and it does it so consistently. It's like Dante Fox is not somebody, again, you know, I've only been watching wrestling for like maybe 3 years, and so maybe if I had been around earlier and following indie wrestling, maybe AR Fox is somebody I would recognize and know, but I didn't. And I think most of the, you know, looking back and like really Lucha Underground has put Phoenix and Pentagon Jr. into the wrestling landscape. When before, maybe if you were following Lucha Libre very closely, you would know it. But for the English-speaking wrestling fan, they definitely were not.
Yeah.
But they are now.
Mm-hmm.
Drago, Aerostar, Brian Cage, I mean, he was there. Ricochet was around before that and like completely turning heads.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and whoever is playing... Mil Muertes. I mean, God, that guy.
Yeah, Ricky Banderas.
Yeah, man. They're just so, so talented. It really makes you wonder, like, what else is... Taya. I mean, geez.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you wonder, like, what else is out there?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well, a whole bunch of them have shown up on Impact, hey?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally, totally. And then you look at PWG, too. Before Lucha Underground and after Lucha Underground, all those guys started popping up.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah. It's just incredibly consistent how they managed to find excellent talent.
Mm-hmm.
And Killshot and Dante Fox, I mean, my God.
Yeah.
My God. The only real shame here is that Killshot is like a proprietary character. And so is it like, I hope this helps his bookings, you know, like, I it doesn't. I don't know if he's gaining enough reputation because of the mask and the name and stuff like that.
No, I cannot see this have a negative effect on...
Not a negative. Not a negative.
Yeah.
But net neutral, I hope not.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think this is the kind of thing that... How do you not take notice of something like this?
Yeah, it's so good.
I guess we should talk about it some more. Dante Fox comes back with a fucking window pane. This is a little weird. The ref helps him set it up on chairs.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Rick Knox has heat with me.
Yeah.
Because I don't think you should be doing that.
No.
No. You can't be speeding up a setup of something that's going to like murder the opponent. You're assisting.
That's an accessory to murder. You could be to murder.
I mean, the other guy, maybe... Okay, so if I'm Dante Fox and I'm going to, I guess, set this thing up, well, if it's going to take me a long time, that's giving my opponent time to recover and prevent me from doing it. If I'm the ref and now suddenly I'm helping you, well, now I'm reducing the amount of recovery time for the opponent.
Yes.
So this, no. No.
That is a good point.
It is. It totally...
Yeah. I mean, like, he did kind of threaten him. He said, I'm going to make you bleed if you don't do it. So that was, I guess that's your own... there's just no way for Dante to do it by himself, apparently. That's my guess.
Yeah.
I think they probably tried it in rehearsal and like, this is going to break, guys. It's going to break if I try to do this by myself.
Grab a fan. Plant a fan.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Or who's Killshot?
Yeah, it was a weird choice.
Yeah, did not... This is what I mean. It's like, this match is like so crazy.
Yeah. So crazy. Many things. So crazy.
I'm just thinking about it. It makes me...
Yeah. They keep teasing back and forth that they're going to go through it.
I love
it.
That.
Yeah,
I love
and then
that.
Finish with a kill shot, rock bottom onto the apron, so it still remains there.
Yeah.
And then they go back into the ring. There's almost a botched C4, but a beautiful save from Dante Fox.
Yeah.
Crazy stuff. At this point, I write, as the first time I wrote down, awesome stuff. Awesome stuff.
Yeah.
Dante Fox moves the glass and chairs into the ring, sets it up again.
There was some interesting cutting here, because that probably took a lot of time.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure. Move to the top rope, and finally, like after there, again, a couple more teases, and finally kill shot is flipped onto the glass for the win. Crazy. 1-0 Dante Fox.
So, just like, so painful. Like, he has all the glass in his back.
Yes.
And there's all this blood, and then the glass is just sits there.
Yeah.
At that point, I was like, oh, man.
Yeah.
Like, this is going to get way worse.
Yes, I know. Yeah. I kept thinking that, too.
Mm.
Oh, boy.
I do not actively seek out death matches.
No.
And so, all of this stuff. This is the first time I saw somebody actually get thrown into barbed wire.
Mm. Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And I was just like,
yeah.
But, so, Killshot has all his glass in his back, and then he continues to wrestle. It's like, when you get slammed, the glass is going to be digging into your back. Thing.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, who knows what kind of... Like, God, it wasn't sugar glass, but it wasn't like... It looked like it was like windshield glass or something, but...
Oh, I'm sure it's some special type, but there's no way that was sugar glass.
No, I know.
That was real
glass. The bottle was sugar glass, but...
Yes.
Yeah. So they set up a chair and ladder... it sets up a chair. Oh yeah, Dante Fox sets up a chair on one side and a ladder on the other side, and then I just wrote down Jesus, because Dante Fox hits two crazy spots on Killshot for both of them, on both of these places. I can't remember exactly what they were, but they're both like, oh my god, two near falls. Killshot gets his hope spot for a near fall, and we get a fight forever chant.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure the match live was utterly mind boggling.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't imagine being there and witnessing this live. I could see myself easily chanting "Fight Forever."
Yes.
But as somebody from home watching it, it's like I did not want them to fight forever. I did not want them to fight forever. Not because they weren't doing a good job, but just because this is not something I want to.
But they were trying to show that level of just rage and just hate and like guys wanting to like what they had like. And I was thinking, I kind of like that. We didn't really know who the babyface or heel was in this up to this point.
It's true. We still don't.
Yeah.
And. Again, that kind of goes back to what I was talking about with stories being tied up and things like this. Like, we don't have a resolution for this. Oh, well, maybe we do. Ah, that's
right. Wait. I was thinking that.
Yeah.
Again, Killshot pulls out what they call ancient Aztec torture rack set up in the corner. I can't remember what it was exactly, but that's what they called it. And Killshot hits his finisher, but Dante Fox kicks out at one. Remember this? He just like got up with like pure rage.
I'm
like,
oh, so good.
God, this is reaching new levels here.
That was the best. That was maybe the only one count in Lucha Underground history.
That I know of. Yeah. Yep. Good point.
Yeah. And it was executed perfectly.
Yeah. Yeah. You need an exclamation point. You need to be shut up, because holy fuck, Dante Fox is power bombed into the barbed wire. That's what the ancient Aztec torture rack. That's what he had called it. This barbed wire on plywood.
God,
nuts. So
getting slammed on the glass. I mean, he really took it, that. I'm sure hurt. More,
you think so?
Than just falling through the glass, like that
kill
shot.
Then the
not the final,
yeah,
not the final falling through the glass, but the first. Like, I'm just trying to think of like, okay, honestly, Dante Fox is psychotic. I hope he got paid like a ton of money for this.
Mm-hmm.
It would be real shame if he got paid the same amount as like Joey Ryan in that battle in royale. That would be mental.
It would be.
The dude took punishment too. Do not get me wrong. No. All that glass. He takes the first glass. There's glass everywhere.
Yeah.
Ladders, chairs. This was violent.
Yeah.
So violent. But Dante Fox, he took stuff that is just not normal. A normal person would not do that.
Yeah. And at this point, and this is, it's just, again, just getting to these other levels, because there's that kind of suplex to the outside where he doesn't let go and he kind of hangs on to him. And it just feels like these guys just don't want to lose this match. Like they're just all over each other. It is, I, I'm like, this match is incredible.
It really is incredible. That's a great word for it. It is incredible.
Great running kick onto the gurney. Remember that they got that gurney out that's supposed to lead them into this thing. That's what war is all about, sadly, ladies and gentlemen. Matt Stryker quote.
That's right.
He was pretty good with, like, I think he took, got notes from the last one when he was dropping all those war metaphors.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's true. Or maybe he just didn't want to repeat himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then here's the biggest cringe inducing thing of the whole goddamn thing is that attitude adjustment from the second rope onto the gurney, and they say that we see a shred of Dante Fox's flesh on the thing, and they kind of show it.
I can't imagine either.
But what the hell was
like that? They zoomed in. It just looked like a pool of blood that was sort of catching the light prop in a different way. I hope so. That's what I'm telling myself.
I don't want to see that. Nope, me neither. That's when you start to feel kind of guilty.
It's probably just a flap of skin.
Something. I don't know, but it was rough.
Dude, when he goes into the barbed wire.
Yeah.
Like, why? How much would they have to pay you to do that? You're going to get thrown, you're going to get power bombed into barbed wire.
Plywood, ancient Aztec.
Yeah.
Whatever.
How much?
Torture rack.
I'll tell you what, I'll give you a number and you tell me higher or lower.
Okay.
$5,000.
I'd do it for $5,000.
Are you out of your fucking mind, dude? Sure.
One power bomb, I could get right out of there really quick.
It's barbed wire.
I don't have to sell, right? I can just land on it and get out of there.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure you won't sell.
But I'm just saying, I'm not going to have to lie there in a heap, because I think that makes it worse.
Dude, I'm sure it's so painful that if you're not ready for it, you pass out.
I guess, yeah, Dante Fox did just jump right up, right?
Oh, like God. Yeah. It looked so gnarly. His black was just...
You think that's low?
Yeah, dude.
I would do it for $500. No. 5,000's doable. Just get some scratches.
Ugh, those are cuts. Yes. Those are cuts.
Serious cuts.
All at once.
Yeah, it's insane.
$5,000. I don't know.
Killshot ties.
You're gonna get booked for a Baskin Robbins commercial tomorrow. Where they're gonna throw you in that shit.
Killshot ties him down on the gurney, rolls him closer. Dante Fox starts to kick out. Killshot gives one more stomp from the outside. This is where I thought, okay, you didn't need all these extra things, even though it was, again, awesome. So, this is where I said stop with the war metaphors, because Stryker was kind of starting to bring them back. The guys are wiped. Dante Fox still hits his that fucking amazing tope to the outside. The flip that he does.
Yeah, huge flip. Yep.
Awesome. I'm like... And then I'm like, what the fuck is that thing in front of the ambulance? They just had that weird kind of thing set up. I think it was before the glass was down or whatever. Anyways, the two move up to the band. I'm just writing, oh boy.
This all seemed so awkward. This whole sequence, like them, just that thing being there.
Mm-hmm.
It's so convoluted.
Yeah.
It's like there was no, I guess.
And they went away and say Dante set it up for, or not Dante, Dario set it up because he wants his guys to kill each other.
Yeah. Maybe I would have bought it more if Dario had come out and said that.
Yeah.
And was like, look at this.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah. Or a little something at the beginning. Boy, but I have this and this and this.
Something
this whole
like
place
that.
Is your battleground.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Because it does feel like, again, I don't watch death matches, but I don't know. I always get the impression that they don't really care too much about establishing, you know, why these things are where they are.
Where did you get all those neon light bulbs or the fluorescent lights?
Exactly. Yes. And so, I don't know. for me, as maybe somebody who's not accustomed to it, I need to know why there's mm-hmm. this huge, elaborate mm-hmm. set piece.
I didn't hate it. I didn't hate it.
To be fair, I honestly just... I didn't know what I was looking at. Mm-hmm. It just looked like some wood. Yeah, that was, yeah, and I was like, what is that?
Yeah.
I was actually thinking like, oh, some fucking crew member forgot mm-hmm. to move that shit out of the way. And that they were covering for it with the call. But, of course, it turned out to be...
Yeah.
A big pile of glass.
Or like a big pane of glass. Because here's the other thing too, is that like for all of this match was, I feel like it had to build up to them going up to a new final big glass stunt. And I don't think it could have been just a fall to the ground. And so it had to be something. Yes, they should have done something, but that's your exclamation point. Or at this part, at this, like, which was really interesting. It was like a period, because when he went through that, there was stunned silence in the crowd.
Totally.
Really somber finish as Killshot carries Dante Fox into the medevac and slams the door. I was just like, wow.
I know.
What an experience.
It was exhausting. Was insane.
Incredible. Exhausting. Did you see how high I went on this?
No, where is it?
No, it's behind here. I didn't know if you saw it or not.
No.
So I initially, when I was done, I wrote 4 stars right away. And I'm like, I got to think about this a bit more. I got to think about this.
It's nice that you've put some thought into this for once.
Because that was really... Usually just pulling them out of my ass.
Well, that's what it feels like.
And I got to say, this was brutal. This was shocking. This was disturbing. This was an all-timer in terms of Lucha Underground matches.
Without question.
4.5. 4.5 stars.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, if it wasn't, it was epic, mm-hmm. without question. If it wasn't so gnarly, I think I would have been able to enjoy it more for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there was a lot of weird stuff that didn't work, and Rick Knox helping. There was just so many things that just popped my... my ability to suspend disbelief.
Mm-hmm.
For me, there's 2 or 3 moments where I was just like, what? No.
Yeah, they were too minor. There was too much just crazy shit happening throughout this.
That... Without question, I think this is the most, one of the most interesting, if not the most interesting wrestling mm-hmm. match that I have seen in Lucha Underground, just in terms of everything that went right and everything that went wrong.
Yeah.
And just like how severely they punished themselves. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I mentioned it earlier today, if I was saying it to you earlier, I don't want to see it again. Or not for a while anyways. I definitely wanted the...
And actually, in the next episode, we kind of got close again, this sort of same kind of stuff began to happen again. And my stomach began to churn. I was like, oh man.
A lot of color the first 2 nights of Ultima Lucha Trace.
Yeah. This has been a very dark couple of episodes.
Mm-hmm.
They just went full death. Didn't they just go and be like, yeah, you know what? Ultima Lucha Trace is just death matches. Like, that's pretty intense.
Yes.
Especially if they're
quite like, the rug pull.
Oh, God. Yeah. We are 30 minutes in. You know what? We're doing great. We're killing the time. Yeah.
Oh, we did all right. Well, I guess that's just the one match that was, woof, woof, what a match.
Yeah. There's every so often I become curious about death matches because there's some really crazy stuff that happens out there. Especially like there's been ones in Japan that take place in surrounded by water that have got like sharks and shit.
Yeah, and when like the ring's going to explode, there's that Funk and Onita. That's the best death match I've ever seen. That Funk and Onita. That's an experience.
Yeah, I don't know.
That is crazy.
Yeah, I don't know. This was a nice reminder that maybe I shouldn't go down that.
Yeah. No, I think you just got to look for, get a good description of it. See you, like if you can handle it.
Yeah. You know, one of my fantasy projects when Lucha.
I was gonna say, one of my fantasies is to put you through a death match. What?
That's right. To hit you in the back with a baseball bat covered in barbed wire.
What the fuck,
apparently,
man?
I only have to pay you $5,000. No, but one of my sort of like pipe dream fantasies is to, I believe there's enough content to create like a university level class on wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Would you spend a week on death matches? 3 hours.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, I think you have to.
Yeah. Maybe it depends. Like this is a full semester course.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
sure.
Whew, gnarly. Yeah. Really. You'd have to have a warning. You'd be like, this week is for bonus points. Yeah. You don't have to. You can do this curriculum.
Or I think it could just be a, like if you are, look, we only have time to talk about a certain amount of things. There's many genres we won't get to talk about, but each of you are going to do a presentation on different yada, yada, yadas. Mm. One of you will get to introduce death matches.
Blarg. Let's take a break and hear from our friends at Place to Be Nation.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey, pro wrestling announcer Kevin Kelly here. I want to make sure you are all subscribed to all the great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. It's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, which, of course, includes the full archives of the Kevin Kelly Show, the Place to Be Nation pod feed, and the Pro Wrestling Only feed. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And be sure to give Justin your true thoughts. I mean, don't hold back. After all, he is kind of a jerk. Just listen to Scott.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rizzero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlayStation.com, and we offer those to you on three great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, we bring you the Mothership, the original Place to Be podcast, as well as Main Event, Lucha Afterground, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows, as well as the Our Vantage Point podcast and Jeff Learns Wrestling. In addition to these full-length shows, we also deliver quick-hit pod blasts on topics old and new.
Over on the Pro Wrestling Only feed, we dive deep inside the wrestling business with a stacked army of experts leading the way. The feed features potpourri shows such as This Week in Wrestling, Greetings from Allentown, Psychology is Dead, Puro Potpourri, Stacy and Elliot's Bogus Journey, and the Military Industrial Suplex. We also have shows that focus intently on certain topics like Letters from Center Stage, Space City, an NWA Classics On Demand adventure, Through the Years, Strong Style History, Strong Style Story, and Mount Olympus. Plus, the feed has the full archives of legendary shows like Titans of Wrestling, Where the Big Boys Play, Letters from Kayfabe, and much more. And on our popular Place to Be Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Rank and File, PTBN Dadcast, Go Home in a Box, NBA Team, and Lucha Undead, as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans with the Hard Traveling Fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversation, Geek and Sassy, and Imaginary Stories podcasts.
You can find all of these current shows plus archives of our past podcasts, including the Kevin Kelly Show, as well by subscribing to all of our feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows plus others available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon when shopping online, and download our free PTB Vintage Vault Refresh ebooks via the links on our site. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, TheHistoryOfWrestling.com, and Scott Keats' Blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Yeah. So, you know, sometimes, like, I'll be like, sometimes it'll come to me when I'm driving here. Sometimes, just as I was walking through the door into your apartment today, I'm like, shit, I haven't picked a chief. So I just go, oh god. And when you're stuck there, it's like, you know, I have 1,000 wrestlers in my head, or 1,000 people related to wrestlers, where I can't think of one good one. But and I thought of one at first. I thought this might be kind of uninspired, but I like it. And then now the more I think about it, that's Cody Rhodes.
Okay,
Cody Rhodes. He just kind of comes in like. He's been from like some precinct where like things were going pretty well for him, but he wants to do his own thing. He wants to kind of see how he can kind of make a name for himself out in Boyle Heights. Mm-hmm. And they're
he was doing well at a big important precinct.
Sure. Yeah.
But then there was an opportunity, the chief position opened up.
Yeah.
And it would be a step down.
Yeah.
But he wanted to see how he could do.
Yeah. Wanted to see how it would go. Mm-hmm. And he's okay. He's all right. He's okay. Yeah. But like a lot of the people who work there, and Joey, like both Ryan and Cortez are kind of like, yeah, I guess he's fine. But a lot of people who work there are like, don't you love the new chief? He's awesome kind of thing. He's great. Isn't he the best?
Yeah.
Like he's doing all this really great stuff. Yeah. And I'm like, really? Didn't the last chief kind of do that too?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, doesn't every chief do that?
Yeah, totally. His wife is always around. Does it seem strange to anybody else that his wife is always here?
Yeah. I mean, she's really pretty. She's pretty.
I'm not really angry about it, but...
I mean, she's okay. She's okay as a person. I mean, as a person, just as a... For whatever... What does she do?
Yeah.
I just don't know how it ends. I just don't know why he leaves.
Great question. He goes... Well, I mean, ultimately, he probably goes back to the...
eventually, the after all that.
Yeah, yeah. Where he goes back to having the exact same job he had.
Yes.
Yeah. And just languishes there. Yeah. That was a good one.
Thanks.
That worked out.
Yeah, good.
Yeah. Okie dokie. So,
next episode.
Yeah, yeah. Ooh, let's do this again.
Sure.
Most importantly, violence!
Lucha Underground, Season 3, Episode 38, Ultima Lucha Trace, Part 2. Recap. Recap of Night 1 and what we just saw. Remind us of Katrina and Eva Lise from way back in Episode 1. God, like a year ago.
So strange to see that.
I know.
That was probably more than a year ago.
Yeah. No.
Because we had a six-month break.
It was a long time ago. Was it 6 months?
Yeah, it was a six-month break.
Jeepers. So we see, and then Marty and Phoenix. And, of course, remind us a bit of Jeremiah Crane. I'm like, oh, okay. So they're going to remind that they didn't forget. They didn't retcon that stuff with him and Eva Lise.
Mm-hmm.
As we see in the first vignette is Eva Lise and Jeremiah Crane arguing. And she asks him, who is she? And she's doing, again, like mm-hmm. it's like she never left, man. I was thinking, I'm glad. It's really nice to see her back here again.
Totally.
And
she's an important, she's a strong character.
Yeah.
And it's, you don't realize how much you missed her until she came back.
It's true.
I say that to my wife all the time.
So anyways, Jeremiah reveals that it's Katrina, that who he loves, and Eva Lise kicks his ass through the bathroom stall.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
It still makes me cringe a little bit when they call each other bitches.
Bitch.
Bitch.
Yeah.
Boom.
It seems like they kind of keep it to Eva Lise, though. That's a thing, right?
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's true.
We enter the temple again to see more of the best band, I'm saying it, the best band in Lucha Underground history.
Mariachi El Bronx, even better than the other,
There was one we really, really liked.
The Lucha Mask guys.
Yeah. Yeah, we thought they should be the house band.
Mm-hmm.
But this is just, like I said.
That's perfect.
Really, really, and works for the special occasion.
Mm-hmm.
And our first match is the Battle Royal. Everybody's in there, they're all introduced, and I just, I almost got a bit of a lump in my throat that Pimpinella got his own entrance.
He was the only person with an entrance.
Yeah, yeah. So
and,
awesome. He's coming down, smooching everybody, shaking his ass.
Yeah. What a weird...
I was hesitant to say his earlier. At first I was noticing Marty or Stryker was kind of using the pronoun game and talking about them, but then eventually they started calling him. Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. What they would think about it. I would love to know how this becomes a potential career path, and how. What is the true nature of this person's sexuality?
I follow them on Twitter. Cassandro? Something like that. I have to find you. I'll put it up. I think I retweeted it. Someone made this kick-ass like neon sign of his face.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's well, that's not Pimpy. That's another guy.
Are you sure?
100%.
Was Scarlet Pimpernella. Did you see when Conan was in Mexico?
Yes. That was not Pimpy.
It's not?
No.
Are you sure?
100%.
Hmm.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes.
I apologize.
No, but I mean, they're all exoticos,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But it seems so strange that there's this whole genre of wrestler, of mm-hmm. wrestling character
mm-hmm.
in Mexico that is like the I don't even know how to describe it entirely.
It's just
you know?
Unique to Lucha Libre.
And so if you're like a little gay boy, in Mexico, is this something that you is this something you aspire to?
Maybe.
Or are you you're a straight man and you want to be a wrestler, and maybe I could go through this angle. Yeah, I think that could be fun, or you know, I don't know.
Could
God,
be
I'm
anything.
Curious.
Could be anything. Could I bet you the answer to that question, both of those questions, is yes, Max. Because anybody can be an exotico.
Great point.
Anybody could want to be an exotico. Yeah. Maybe I'm just a blah. So they ring the bell. They ring the bell, and right away, sucker kick to Masquerita Sagrada from Arjenis. Just wow. Like that, like we both kind of laughed.
Oh, yeah, yeah, totally. Arjenis just turns around and just boots Masquerita Sagrada in the chest completely from behind. Yeah. Sucker punches him. Sucker kicks him.
Kicks him. That's what I call it. Is that a sucker kick? I don't know. I never heard of
it. Oh, sucker kick. I thought you said soccer kick. Yeah. Anyways, it doesn't matter.
I think anytime you kick Masquerita Sagrada, it's like a soccer kick. Right away.
Oh, that's good.
Vincenzo. That's good. Is eliminated. It was nice. He made his little appearance there.
Yeah.
But and then happily, like everyone's, it was fast and furious. Everybody
got it was.
This was a really quick little battle royal. Mm-hmm. Son of Madness is eliminated by the Rabbit Tribe. Masquerita Sagrada, the double elimination. Remember, he kind of pushed out two of them. I can't remember who it was exactly. But Pimpinella.
Oh, it was. It was Joey Ryan and Cortez.
That's right. That's right. When they were kind of fighting the two of them. Mm-hmm. So that was good. And you got a bit of a reminder of them. I still think we will see their I think their outside the ring storyline is more important than their inside the ring storyline. More than any other characters. And I still think we will see that wrapped up to some extent.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I guess it will have to happen with that gauntlet. Mm-hmm. Because that's part of it mm-hmm. now, right?
I have a theory about that.
Oh. Is it about time travel? Because I think I had that first.
It is not about time travel.
So why are you copying me?
I think this is. I'm just. This just came to me. I haven't really had much time to think about. I think Katrina loves Cage, and like she's going to help him get the gauntlet back because she loves power.
But why would Remember she do that? Mill?
Hmm. It's not Mill. I think that's too on the nose. It's too obvious.
Yeah. Isn't it Phoenix then?
I don't think so.
Oh, I don't know. I think that there's a nice little dovetail thing going on there with Phoenix.
There was. Yeah, they do have a history. That would be interesting,
but then,
too.
Phoenix and Melissa are together. So
I'm just saying. This would make sense. If she's goes to the person, maybe she says Mil Muertes no longer has it. Mm-hmm. Maybe Mil Muertes is due for a babyface turn.
Amazing. Remember when he grabbed the mic? Oh, God, that was so good.
What a moment.
What a moment.
One of the highlights.
Yeah, what a Lucha Underground moment.
Yeah. Pimpinella and Paul London are kind of matching each other in their kind of shenanigans.
Yep, that was fun.
That was a nice little spot.
There was a little bit of a miscommunication or something there that unfortunately kind of lost some of its steam, but it was good.
But hey, we got a face in the crotch, so that's
that's right. Can't be an episode of Lucha Underground without somebody's face in somebody's crotch.
So they eliminate two more members of the Rabbit Tribe are tossed out. I think Pimpinella's like getting rid of most of them. Somebody is eliminated. I'm just, like I said, I'm trying to throw this down, write this down as much
quick but it as ends the last three.
Well, PJ tosses Masquerita Sagrada and really tosses him. Looks like the Rabbit Tribe caught him. The final three is Mac, Ricky Mundo, and PJ Black. And there wasn't even that much of a time. When it got down to Mac and PJ Black, I was like, oh, I want them to give these guys 5 minutes now.
Yeah, totally.
But hit a stunner, got him out of there, he wins.
That stunner cell was...
Yep.
No.
No? You did like?
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, a little too much?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, no, you hit by the stunner, you gotta fall. Yeah. You gotta fall over or something. You got... It's like, you know...
Mm-hmm.
You know, just spring back. Mm-hmm. It looks like he sprung up and it was like in a daze kind of thing.
Yeah,
I don't know.
But yeah, Mac wins. The Rabbits take Masquerita Sagrada up the stairs.
Yeah, in the background.
Yeah, in the background. Yeah. There was no kind of, they didn't really call attention
they didn't,
to it.
Yeah, they didn't focus on it.
And enter Dario Cueto looking sharp, dressed to the nines.
That's right.
And he announces that the Max, this was we should have said this was a unique opportunity match, and the unique opportunity is that the Mac gets a trios match, and Dario Cueto gets to pick the partners, and I popped for this when he said they've just been through war, Killshot and Dante Fox, because we get to see them wrestle again.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. I think that is so great.
It's a choice that I don't think I would have made, just because I feel like there's other characters that need of a lucha Ultima Lucha Trace moment.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was inspired totally.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
I love it. I was expecting it to be PJ Black and
Mundo or Ricky Mundo or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, but it's cool.
Yeah, and see, I see we still might see one more kind of. I think it'll end with we've been through war together.
They're definitely gonna win, don't you think?
Yeah, and just finish with like that kind of.
Yeah, and then the Mac is there too.
Yeah, yeah,
and they've successfully corralled everybody by race into one corner of the. I mean,
I hadn't noticed that. I hadn't thought about that. But Dario Cueto hits a great laugh on the whale. I could never quite do it.
I know. It was weird that Dario didn't make an appearance in the first episode at all, or in episode 37.
Uh-huh.
Especially because it's the beginning of Ultima Lucha Trace.
Yeah, I guess. Huh. I mean, I was kind of thinking like it was almost that one almost acted like a bit like a pre-show, but not with that match. That match is that's a big show kind of match.
It always, I think. You can always improve an episode of Lucha Underground by adding more Dario.
Sure, it's true.
It's very rare to not have him in it.
But I got to say, I don't think there was any fat to really trim in that first episode.
No kidding.
Right? Yep. Except for that fat that got trimmed off of the Billy's Bick.
Disgusting. Disgusting.
Next match. Katrina versus Eva Lise at long last. I had heard a bit of a spoiler about this from people on in the stands, or somebody from in the stands, about how, oh boy, they are really going to have to edit the shit out of this one.
Why?
It just sounded like it was just full of botches and mistakes, and maybe they did, but we did see a couple kind of clunky little things. It's a really sloppy start when she like dove after her, and they had both tried to roll out of the ring. I thought it was good. Katrina called her out, called her a bitch again, and Eva Lise just comes running. This is her return, man.
Yeah.
I'm an Eva Lise fan. I like her work, but I also like she seems like somebody I cheer for, a person I cheer for. Not like I want her to do well.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. I thought this match was way better than I expected.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was expecting it to be quite a bit worse.
I was expecting it to be like a squash one way or another without a real sort of like, nobody really tangling up. But this was not that. Mm-hmm. This was insane.
Yeah, pretty insane.
Yeah.
And so after that sloppy start, goes over to Dario's office. Eva Lise kicks open the door and gets a bottle smash in the face. Take two. She gets another bottle smash in the face, and we hear she's busted open, and she gets a third bottle smash in the face.
And she's just covered
crimson
in
mess.
Blood.
Crimson mess.
Oof.
Here's some more color. Color number two. It's two out of three singles matches where we've seen in Ultima Lucha Trace with a lot, and a little bit in the next one as well.
Yeah.
Dario Cueto is disgusted by this. He makes a face and just kind of closes the door. It's a nice little cutaway shot.
Yeah, yeah.
So they brawl into the stands and back into the ring. I thought a pretty good Reaper's Trident from Katrina. I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, I thought Katrina did way better than I ever expected.
The crowd is way into it, chanting, holy shit.
Yeah.
Eva Lise kicks out of Katrina's finisher that we had seen her use 500 episodes ago on her. Katrina grabs the rock. Eva Lise gets it, and they fought over it. When they were fighting over it, I was kind of starting to lose the whatever kind of heat they had. But she gets it. Eva Lise and hits her DDT for the win. And you can you see legit happiness in her eyes here.
I think so.
I think this was you get the idea that this was a tough road back from the injury. She's had two of the ankle injuries, legit ankle injuries, and you could. I remember when the second one happened, you could see her just saying, "Not again, no." Like she was really upset.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Well, how did you feel when they were in the stands and like the people that were around them fighting had like big goofy grins on their faces? For me, it kind of took away from it.
Yeah,
you know, because I was like, if this was a real fight, like, nobody would be like...
Two girls just bleeding all over each other.
Nobody would be, like, smiling and like, this is fun. You'd be like, what the fuck?
I hadn't really noticed, to be honest. Yeah.
Like, at the end of this episode, the girl who is beside Marty when he's chained up,
yes.
her expression, that's... Who? That's what I would.
Me too.
But it's this dude who's just like, and it's like, this kind of takes me out of it a little bit. And also, I gotta say, like, these women are so attractive.
Yeah,
it's, and I have no shame in just like enjoying.
Of course, we know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
their outfits
exactly. But then there's. When they start to like bleed and all that sort of stuff, and it's like a very, very strange mix.
Blossoms and blood, man.
I think that's deliberate. Sick. I think it's not good for your mind.
I see what you're saying, but like I think Blossoms and Blood is the name of the documentary attached to Punch Drunk Love, and Paul Thomas Anderson always says there's a big theme in that film is that the line between beauty and violence is very blurred, or it can be sometimes, and it definitely, unlike in this case, I think that is the desired effect.
I think so. I don't know if I liked it.
I'm not going to go 3 stars or anything on this, but I think in terms of doing what they needed to do, even with like that battle royal was what it was quick, but I think each of these every match we've seen so far has boom, you're doing what you've set out to do, and everybody's working hard and putting together really good matches. How we weren't
incredible stuff.
Remember back to Ultima Lucha Dos and how much of a letdown it was? I think it was more so by the finish or the very last episode, but I don't remember feeling this kind of batting 1,000, you know?
Yeah, that's a great point. They definitely recognized that they needed to raise their game. Mm-hmm. And this makes a lot of sense to do it like this.
Yeah.
But I guess just for my personal tastes, I don't know. Maybe if I was warned, you know?
Yes.
Like, if there was, like, a warning at the beginning of these episodes, I think that might have... Maybe that would have been helpful.
Prepped you for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I would have preferred... It's just strange because they're just so attractive. And
yes.
It's like, why are you... You're really messing with me, you know, when you do that. I think I would have enjoyed being able to... I was so focused on the blend of that feeling of being, like, uneasy and unsure, and yet, you know, it was, like, flipping staccato from being disgusted to being, like, titillated. Like,
oh, wow, look at that butt.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that I found almost distracting for me and sort of made me feel very uneasy. Mm-hmm. If they had gone, like, those same outfits, but maybe just... focus on the in-ring action.
Yeah, and maybe pillows,
perhaps? Well, I don't want to... No, you can still put on a great show.
Oh, okay.
You can still put on... You can still wrestle around. Don't get me wrong. Or cover it up a little bit. And then go full deathmatch.
Make it more like a street fight, kind of come in your skivvies. Yeah.
Exactly.
I see your point.
Yeah.
I see it. I get it. But yeah, this is the direction they've gone.
It was mental.
Yeah. But anyway, we didn't even talk about post-match. Jeremiah Crane comes running in with a hammer to the ankle.
Oh, God.
Again to the ankle. But that's good. That's good. That's smart. That's, again, this is a bad guy. This is a girl who had, legit injuries, but now you've worked it into the storyline here. So that's good. That's fine.
Jeremiah Crane with the hammer. Hammer was a nice touch.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Didn't need to be a hammer.
Nope.
He did a good job with that hammer.
Yep. Next match, Mask versus Hair. Here we go. Phoenix versus Marty the Moth.
Phoenix is such a star, man.
Such a star.
Comes out, gets a full entrance. Place is going bananas. He's pumped.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the hot girl. Gets a kiss.
Yeah.
Dude, gets a kiss.
And just like off of the kiss, it's like giving him that animo energy. Oh, and he goes to the...
I love it. This relationship between those two is like my favorite thing that Lucha Underground has done.
Cool.
Really. It's...
Yeah.
Because they're telling they've never gone like full like
love story
romance, yeah. Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. They have the ability to tell stories unlike any other wrestling company, and this is the first time that I feel like they're taking advantage in a way that isn't as like pulpy or like sure. as you know, weird.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they do all sorts of crazy stuff.
Yep, yep.
But this is just like, yeah, these are two people that they care about each other.
Let's ground it, man. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I loved it. Yeah, I love it.
Me too. Me too.
It got so real, though, yeah. at the end. And it's yes. just like, yes. yeah, God, yes. you want to talk about like feeling strange.
Yeah.
This match. So, so crazy.
So crazy. So Marty comes out with Mary Poe again. He's got that goddamn lunchbox. Hot start. Good heat, of course. This has been a really good feud. Mary Poza gets in involved early and twice. Marty the Moth removes the turnbuckle pad. Always, you know, usually mm-hmm. I expect him to be hoisted on his own petard usually when this happens, but it didn't work in this case. Phoenix counters with an attempt at it and then flips on to Mary Poza. I didn't see why
Marty was
pissed off at Mary Poza.
Or, yeah, why Mary Poza was pissed at him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't really catch that either.
Anyways, so she flips Marty off and leaves. Great running knee from Phoenix when they get back into the ring, as always. Mm-hmm. And there we see Marty the Moth tears the mask. You thought a little too much, right? We saw a little too much of Phoenix.
I think so.
Could you pick him out of a lineup now if you saw him without it? Probably not.
Oh, I don't know, man.
I don't think so.
I hope not.
There was too much blood to really kind of get a good look at.
I hope not. Mm-hmm. But I do feel like it was too much because I feel like it got too good of a look on his face. And I just wanted Melissa to throw him something, mm-hmm. get him a replacement mm-hmm. mask mm-hmm. or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
But whatever.
But yeah, he finally hit the buckle and good God, was he juiced and like just dripping and gushing all over the place.
Oh, God. So much blood.
I know Marty hit that really kind of nasty arm drop off of a F5 setup. I don't know what you call it, but it looked really good.
Mm.
It's a bit of a botch in the corner, but they recovered quickly. Fun little roll into a cutter from Phoenix.
Yeah. On the apron?
Yes.
Yeah.
So cool. Melissa Santos is screaming for Marty to do something, but she's talking to Marty Elias.
Yes. Made that. It was a little confusing for me.
Yes. As if you aren't already confused. This whole thing has just really made you... I can see you've got... The wheels are turning. I write down a lot of color. Melissa Santos, a great performance off of the near fall.
Too good of a performance.
Yeah, yeah.
Too good of a performance.
Yeah. Phoenix gets a hope spot through his handspring cutter. He's fired up, but it's cut short by a Marty the Moth clothesline. Awesome Spanish fly off the top for another near fall.
Got to give props to Marty for doing that.
Yeah.
That's not easy to do.
No. And he hits his curb stomp, which are they thinking, oh, that maybe that's going to do it with a near fall. Mm-hmm. The crowd is loving it. Marty goes to the lunchbox, gets scissors. Glee.
Yeah.
Gets the scissors. And like this was really pushing the envelope. He's got it like almost up against his throat. Melissa Santos goes to ringside and she gets pulled in. Hand slap.
Oh, wait. We have to... She tries to stop Marty.
Yes.
She's like...
Oh, yeah. She's pleading
with him. She's like, oh, we'll run away together. I love you.
Yeah.
I love you. I'm like, whoa, this is good.
Yeah.
This is good stuff.
Drama.
It is. And it's like, if you were in the audience, if you hadn't maybe seen the last match with her and Phoenix together...
Mm-hmm.
You would not have known about any of this romance storyline.
And why is she so like hysterical about this?
Yeah. It's just it's so interesting mm-hmm. That we, as the at-home audience, get this different perspective on it. We talk about it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But she lies to him,
yes.
right?
Yes.
And she's like...
But it's a lie out of desperation.
It is. Yeah. It is, absolutely. And it appears that Marty falls for it mm-hmm. at first, but then, I mean, obviously, I don't know. Do you think that he did fall for it or not? And that's why, or he's like, he attacked her, basically.
He's like, you know, if you want to look at it from a kayfabe, what's his headspace there? Yeah. He's like, well, you know, I love making this guy bleed and doing this, but I really love like the idea of doing something to Melissa here as well, right?
Yeah. Yikes.
Yep. Yep.
So intense.
Yeah, so intense. So she's out in there and she hits a hard hand slap followed by a hard nuts kick. And
her performance is so good.
Yeah, and Phoenix is, that's an awesome 450 off of like a middle rope, kind of does his thing that only he can, and he lands on top, and then Melissa jumps on top for the pin as well. It's like such a nice touch.
It was awesome.
1-2-3 for the win. Awesome. I went 3.5 on this.
Sure, and that's when things took a darker turn. Yes.
Well, still, there's still that great moment with Melissa grabbing the mic and announcing it, and just that joy in her voice.
Oh, dude, I
so good.
I would not describe that as joy. It was like the energy, her adrenaline was like through the roof. Yes. She grabs the mic, she's like, "And your winner is Phoenix!" Boom.
Yes,
it was just like down. So real.
Yes.
It was too real.
Yes.
Melissa Santos was too real, and it made me nervous.
Yes.
And especially after this.
So they're starting to chant to shave his head. And Marty's like, he's going to get away. And then Stryker's playing it up. Looks like you'll have to, like, you know, but Mariposa is waiting at the top of the stairs with a chair shot to the head, handcuffs him to both sides of the aisle, and enters with a barbershop table that she just had ready on the outside.
Why not?
And the haircut begins, and it is nuts, and it's great, and it's getting the just desserts. But the look on Melissa's face, and she's gone into a dark place. I don't think this is, even though you guys won, I don't know if you're in a good space right now.
Yeah. I don't think this is healthy for you.
Yes.
This is really tapped into some dark.
What's the word to describe where she's at? Like, it's like a viciousness, a vengeful.
Extreme vengefulness. Like, definitely going overboard.
Vengeful joy.
Yeah, it was dark. It was dark, and it made me, I have to say, I think it was a choice that made me not enjoy the match less,
mm-hmm.
because Marty was powerless,
mm-hmm.
and just the scissors and stuff. And maybe if it was done with, I don't know. It just seemed like torture. It seemed like torture.
What they were doing to Marty.
Yes. Yeah. And I do not care for that.
But Marty has been torturing and doing all sorts of everything up until this
point. Yeah, but the heroes should be better.
Yeah.
You know, they should be better than that.
Yeah.
Especially someone like Melissa Santos and her sister Melinda Santos.
Also very pretty.
Totally. But yeah, it was too real. I mean, it felt like rape revenge type stuff.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah,
sure.
And I don't know if that's
mm-hmm.
if that's like the, but that, how you want to end.
This is the kind of thing they do. They'll do stuff that is.
But shouldn't it be kind of funny, like when you're shaving a guy's head? Shouldn't it be like a funny kind of thing that everybody
if
can
this
be like?
Had been, if this had been, I know, I see what you're saying. It was too far. It was too much, and it could have just been like, yeah, more of a celebration, more joyous. Because with that very last image, when they've shaved just like a couple, like, and he just looks like a joke, and he's just got that kind of embarrassed, disgraced face, and they pan up to them embracing and kissing, and then that. Was great. That was really well done. Like everything, like all those things are just, I see what you're saying. If it didn't have that bit of,
they really went after his hair for a lot of, and just
with that kind of evil look in their
and
eyes.
And plus Phoenix is covered in blood, mm-hmm, and then mm-hmm. Marty's covered in blood, and it's all just happening. It's all just seems mm-hmm. so animalistic.
Yeah. There we go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh.
But good. I mean, a good story. Like they,
yeah.
This is another thing. They've wrapped this one up.
I guess. You're right. Unless, of course, this was Phoenix and Melissa's heel turn. They have a taste for blood now.
Yes,
they just want to go on a haircutting spree.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It was mental.
Two mental episodes.
Yeah. If it continues at this pace, I mean...
Jeepers creepers.
Yeah. What a great way to end the series.
The series.
just perhaps. I mean, it's just bananas. Is this the type of thing they can even put on Netflix? I don't know.
Why not?
A man gets thrown into barbed wire for real.
Sure. Sure. Hey, man, just watch some of those documentaries. All those the goddamn OJ documentary is on Netflix, isn't it? They
I don't know.
They show all the
murder.
Well, you see Nicole's body. You didn't watch that documentary? No. It's something to see, man. It is something to see. No. Yeah. Come on. Pseudo violence. Everybody can handle pseudo violence.
Okay. So what are we gonna do?
What are we going to do?
What are we gonna do next week?
Max is off to Gay Petty, among other places, with his lovely wife.
My lovely wife.
A honeymoon.
Yeah. So I'm not gonna be here next week or the next week.
I think I might try flying solo.
Sure.
For the first week.
Okay.
And
then we'll take. And then we'll.
Well, back. I don't know, man. I wanna.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see. Well, I mean, we'll see how we're feeling.
Okay.
The good people at LRA have been nice enough to generally get these things to us
on time
and early. So I think we need to take advantage of that to some extent, especially for the end here.
Yeah.
I think. Well, I'll think of something. Regardless, we will do kind of a.
What's the time difference between here and Portugal? That's where I'll be when the next one happens.
You tell me.
All right, let's look it up. In the meantime, while I'm doing that, how can people find us on social media?
Search for us on Twitter at @Lucha_Aftergrund. Just search for Lucha Afterground. You will find us. Go to placetobenation.com or go to iTunes or Podcatcher or wherever the heck you find your podcasts and add Place to Be Nation or the Place to Be Nation PWO network, whatever. Lots of great stuff outside of us. I'm trying to think of what I've really been enjoying lately. I really like, still those for your considerations, they've kind of slowed down on those, but those have been awesome. If you can go back and listen to those, just kind of get a run down through it. Makes you think about all these guys have been in, just looking at their WWE careers exclusively. Cause I have to put together this list of greatest WWE wrestlers, the 100 greatest.
That's still happening.
And I had, it's going to be in December. Well, they want everybody to give everybody a chance to do all this research, right?
That's good.
That's what I've been working on. And I was thinking I was going to be a high vote on Kurt Hennig. And now hearing more and more people talk about it, I'm like, I'll definitely be high vote on Kurt Hennig. One of my all-time favorites.
Oh, there you go. So the difference between Lisbon and Vancouver is 8 hours. So Portugal is 8 hours ahead.
Mm-hmm.
So that means if we were going to be...
So it's 10:25 here right now.
And it's 6:25 a.m.
Huh.
So that's not good. So if we started at 8 p.m., I would need to be awake at 4 a.m. I could call.
Yeah, or something. We could figure something out. Well, I mean, hey, if we don't, we don't. Full disclosure, Max said, dude, I'm doing it.
I did say I would.
Over text. I'm like, dude.
I didn't realize it'd be 4 a.m.
Yeah. I said, no pressure. This is your honeymoon.
So that's true.
I can understand. This is your first love. No. Like I said, if something works, it works. But I think I might try to. Yeah, you inspired me when you kind of went by yourself there. It's a good little challenge.
Yeah.
From there, I'll think of some other possibilities.
Alrighty. Well, Travis will be here next week.
The question remains: will you join us?